Welcome to the More Life Church podcast. We are always encouraged to know that God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know and send us an email to amen@morelifechurch.com. Now enjoy today's message.
Well, I want to give us an opportunity to celebrate an incredible milestone that we have achieved as a church. How many of you could use some celebration in your Sunday morning today? All right. We're gonna start off by celebrating. Before we do that, one of the things that's very interesting to me is our church, as we've grown and we've grown out of this facility and the need for multiple services and always kind of trying to stay ahead of what is coming next. This facility, as many of you know, we've outgrown many years ago, and so we started down a path. But as we grew out of one service and into two, and from two to more than that, something really interesting began to emerge in our church. Something that, unless you're in multiple services on a regular basis, it might get past you. But just out of curiosity, let me ask a question. How many of you have ever been in a service besides the 10:30 service? Let me see your hands. If you've been in a service besides the 10:30, okay, that's a lot of you. That's awesome. If you were in these services every weekend, there'd be something interesting that I think you would observe. Something that has emerged is each service has kind of formed a personality which is unique to its specific time slot. And I don't really know how to explain that other than to say the 9 a.m. service has a personality, the 10:30 service has a personality, and definitely the noon service has a personality. And they're all amazing. The first services, their personality is kind of mature and stable, and they make me feel safe a little bit. If I'm being really honest, don't tell them because they've already been here. They're not watching online. Sometimes they drive me crazy because they don't want to move along and change. Come on, somebody. You know someone like that, right? And so they kind of get a little bit stuck. But I love them because they're here and they're with us. The thing that I love about this service is you guys are up for anything. Like, things change, and maybe it's just the total volume of people that it drowns out maybe individual complaints, but yet we all kind of seem to flow with it and roll with it. And there's always really good life and energy in the 10:30. You guys understand that this is kind of like prime time, prime spot. And one thing that's really fun that I'm having a really good time right now is as we've rearranged the room, I can't find nobody in this place that I normally would. Like everybody shuffled up. It's just very cool. It's very cool. And here's one thing that you have to understand about faith. Faith gets ready for what's next. Faith prepares for what's next. And in 2017, I believe we are going to reach the most people that we've ever reached in the history of our church. We are not going to wait until a new structure is up. We are going to continue to prepare. We're going to continue to invite. We're going to continue to encourage. We're going to continue to kind of band together and grow as a church family. But I love all of the unique personalities. The noon service is amazing. If you've never been to our noon service, it's not the fullest of the rooms, but man, let me tell you something. When it comes to worship, they are passionate. We are passionate as a group in the noon service, and it just absolutely encourages me. And this is each service. It's just amazing. It was new to me because, you know, when I was in Bible school, there isn't a class that says, Service A has this personality, service B has this personality. And so what I appreciate about everybody in this house is you guys have all been very patient and kind and understanding and allowed me to kind of learn who I am and lead and understand that I'm just an imperfect guy doing my best to follow a perfect God who loves me and loves you with a perfect love. And so I just really am thankful for each and every one of you for the grace that you've extended at times and the understanding to say, hey, sometimes Josh, I don't know, but we love him anyway. Come on, right? So I mean, I appreciate each and every one of you. Thank you guys. And as we've ventured into this journey, what we've realized is this facility is not able to accommodate us. And let me just say, I'm okay with that. In fact, I'm not sure that More Life Church will ever get to a place where a facility accommodates us. Because I believe that God wants to do so much above all that we can ever ask or think, that we are just constantly in passionate pursuit of what He's doing and doing our very best to stay current with Him. I think we're always going to be playing catch up with God, because I think God is going to overwhelm us with His grace and His love and help us as we enlarge our circle of love. And so over the last 8 months, everyone in our church has been given an opportunity to make a sacrificial commitment. And I want you to see the progress that we've made in an 8-month period of time as we have banded together, made sacrifice, and I want you to see what we've accomplished and what we have prepared to be able to take this next step as we endeavor to double the occupancy for our adults and double the occupancy for our kids. So if you guys would, in the media room, would you please let us see the update for the More Than Bricks and Sticks campaign? Through 1-6, through the end of 2016, we have each committed together total $264,000. That's such a big number, I'm not even used to saying it, I'm sorry. $264,953.75. Now here's what I love. My part of that is really small, because the number's so stinking big. And what I want you to know is, we've talked to two people, one of them, Chad Auckland, who helped us with Enjoy Stewardship Solutions, another guy named Michael Lopresti, who's an expert in church financing, has said, they both said to me individually, Josh, I hope that More Life Church understands the God-sized movement of generosity that's going on in Newark, Ohio through this church, because this, what we've accomplished together in 8 months, just so you know, it's not normal. It's unusual, it's unique, it's a God-sized thing, and He should get all the glory and all the honor and all the credit for what He's doing in this place. Give God praise, somebody. Can I borrow your grandbaby for a minute? Yeah. I want you to see one of many reasons why this is important. May I hold him?
Yes, you may.
Tell me his name.
Emmett.
Emmett? Oh, mama. My favorite running back is Emmett Smith. This is like a God thing for me. I'll give him back in just a minute. You can grab a seat. You might get tired. When you think about why we do what we do, here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at Emmett. And I want you to see that Emmett is one of hundreds, literally hundreds of children that will come into this place today and experience the grace and goodness of God. One of hundreds. And what we're doing is not enlarging our physical footprint on this property. What we're doing is we're enlarging a spiritual footprint, a footprint of grace, a footprint of life, so that people will be able to come into this place, whether they're physically young or spiritually babes, and encounter the power of a risen Christ. It is for people like Emmett that we're doing this, because some of us were in a place that we're just a little bit older than Emmett when we had a Sunday school teacher get into our world and tell us, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And we began to walk a life in accordance with God's word, because someone dared to love us and enlarge their circle of love and reach out beyond what they were comfortable with and tell us about a scandalous grace that would forever change our life. Why are we doing it? For the spiritual babes, for the natural babes that need to have an experience with the risen Christ in their life, forever transformed, an eternity that is set forever with Christ. That's why we're doing what we're doing. Good for you, buddy. You were, all eyes were on you, Emmett, as should be. Thank you. So thank you. Thank you for your sacrifice and your generosity. One of the things that completely captivates me about this church is our church's just generous spirit. It's a call. It's a mandate that's on this church's life. It's a grace that's on our life. And I believe that by the time this thing is over, we will be known throughout eternity as one of the most generous groups of people to ever walk the face of the earth. Can you imagine having that as your eternal destiny, as your eternal legacy, that when God looks at you, he says, a part of the group of the most generous people in the world was Butch, was Mayo, was Pat, was Jason, was whoever. It's just an incredible mark that we can have. And so from the bottom of my heart, I wanted to open this New Year's time with just the gratitude that I feel and kind of my own fumbling, bumbling way to let you know how much I appreciate you and appreciate what we have accomplished by the grace of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. So here's what we're going to do. Today we're going to continue on with a message series that we started last week. It's a series on change. And change is necessary. Turn to your neighbor and say, change is necessary. Turn to somebody else and say, I've been telling them that for a long time. Change is necessary. Change is necessary. And the thing that I want to speak to you about today is a change of direction. A change of direction is constantly necessary in the life of the believer. And if you want a take-home point for the rest of today's service, here it is. You and I will never reach our full potential in Christ unless we take the change step that's right in front of us. And each and every person in this place, you have a change step in front of you. And it's a simple step, but yet it isn't an easy step. A change of direction is what will change our life. And you and I will never reach our full potential until we take the step that's right in front of us. And so here's what I want to do. The team is going to play a video that's a little bit humorous that kind of encapsulates what change looks like in its essence as a fundamental kind of part of our life and how we all process it. And I think the thing that's interesting about this video is you can see the necessity of change from two vantage points. You can see it from the vantage point of yourself in the picture of the man with the monkey on his back. And you can see change from the perspective of looking at someone else and the change they need from the vantage point of the therapist. So there's a lot of facets in depth, but there's a little bit of humor in this video, but it will illustrate the idea of the necessity of change way better than I could. So draw your attention to the screen as we see this illustration.
I have this weight on my shoulders.
And can you expound on that a little bit deeper for me, please?
It's like something's picking me apart all the time, like pick, pick, pick. It's like this constant nagging, you know, like,
oh.
Is what I'm saying make sense at all?
You know you have a monkey on your back?
Yes, that's exactly how I feel.
No, I don't think you understand. What I'm saying is you have an actual monkey on your back, and I think if you just removed it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought coming to a professional, you could actually help.
You know, why don't we reset here for a minute? Is there anything else going on?
Yes. There's this odor around me I just can't get rid of.
You're feeding it.
Can you just calm down?
You're literally feeding the problem.
Put the pen down.
I'm not going to put the pen down.
Stop pointing it at me.
The pen is not the problem.
Sit back.
I'm sitting back. My back is against the back here.
Okay, let's stop all this monkey business and let's dig deep and really try to figure out what I need to do to fix my problem.
I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
What is it that you think you need to do?
I just don't know. I have this weight on my shoulders.
And can you expound on that?
When you see that, you can quickly identify that many times we romanticize the problems that are in our life, the changes that we need to pursue, and can even kind of act a little bit dumb about what's going on in our world and overly complicate things. Here's what I want you to understand on the outset. The changes of direction that you need to make, they're very simple, and each and every one of you already have an idea of what some of those changes are that are necessary. You just need the confidence and the courage to take that step. To take that one simple step. We're going to look at a concept and an idea in 1 Kings chapter 17. And in 1 Kings chapter 17, we see the story of Elijah. And Elijah, well, let me just read it, and I'm going to read like 9 or 10 verses, and let me unpack it. And here's what I'm hoping for, that each and every person in this place comes to the point of awareness that gives you the confidence to say, I need to take a step, and I'm going to take that step. It could be a relational step. It could be a financial step. It could be an educational step. It could be a spiritual step. It could be a faith step. It could be any kind of myriad of things, and we'll talk about a few of them. But at the end of the day, I want each and every person in this place to say, I need to change direction on something. And I'm going to take that step, and I'm going to take it soon. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. And Elijah, the Tishbite, of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. The word of the Lord came to him saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So get the picture. Elijah tells the king there's going to be a drought. And as soon as he gives this word to the king, God gives Elijah a word. And the word is simply this: go east toward this body of water. He is given a single step. Now for us, we've read the whole story. We see the birds bring him food and he drinks from the brook. And we know the outcome of the story. And so we inject our knowledge of the end of the story into our thinking in the beginning of the story, and therefore it's a little bit difficult for us to get the concept that Elijah simply knew one single step to take. He did not know the entire plan. Let me talk to all my planners who are in the house today, because y'all have a specific challenge in front of you, because some of you love to know the entire story at the very beginning before you ever even act. You want to know that some of y'all are looking at each other and elbowing one another. It's an awesome sight. Some of you want to know the complete story from the very beginning, and you want to know the complete story because you have this idea. If I know all of the steps, then probably what I can do is I can troubleshoot, and I can see that there's going to be problems that come up, and I don't want there to be any problems that come up, so I'm going to fix the problems before they happen, and until I get a perfect, absolutely awesome plan, I am never going to take a step. Does anybody in the room know anything about what I'm talking about today? Yeah. And here's what we miss. God knows before you take the first step that there are going to be problematic steps along the way. And check it out, he doesn't care. He's totally okay with it. And here's why. Because God is not insecure. God is not uptight. God is not nervous about how he is going to take care of you. But you and I, we're nervous. We're uptight as to whether or not he is going to take care of us. And so we have to outthink God. We have to outsmart God. We have to overanalyze God and say, I don't think God thought this through very well. Maybe I need to tell him that his plan has a flaw. When God doesn't care anything in the world about any of those things, because he's already seen the end from the beginning and said, here's your step. See, Elijah, all he knew was, go to the brook and you're going to be taken care of. And Elijah right then and there has a decision. Do I say yes to this change of direction? Do I say yes to this step? See, until he says yes to that step, none of the other steps really matter. Until he says, yes, I'm taking this step into the empty void of faith, until I say yes to stepping out into the unknown, until I say yes to walk in the uncertainty and know that God's gonna take care of me, nothing else really matters. Listen, it could all go wrong as you take that first step, but here's the deal. If God led the first step, everything after the first step is totally okay because he is going to take care of his own. He's going to take care of you. He's going to take care of you. So see, it isn't a fear and apprehension necessarily about the first step. It is what happens after I take the first step. Is he going to take care of me or not? My wife and I, we had an amazing story of taking first steps together. Fell in love, got engaged, got married at the age 19. 19. Odds kind of stacked in your favor statistically when you do that. But let me just give you a little bit of insight. Whenever you say I do, the odds are stacked against you. Unless you're committed to doing it God's way. And when you say, I do, and you say, I'm going to follow God's way, you have a 100% chance for success in marriage when you do it God's way, because his system is flawless and perfect. And when two people say yes to taking a step in God's way, it will work. It'll be difficult at times. The reality of for better or worse comes to every marriage. Some of y'all been living in worse for a long season and you're ready for some better. And I'm telling you, 2017 can be a season of better. It can be a better in your marriage. It can be a better in your household. It can be a better in your financial life. It can be a better in your physical life. It can be a better in every area of your life. Not based on the outcome, but based on you and I simply saying yes to God's steps. That's the measuring stick for success in the Christian life. Am I obeying what God has said? That's it. It's not how much money I have in the account. It's not how well I am. It's not how well my kids are doing. Is the measuring stick for success in the Christian life is, am I obedient to Christ? Am I subjecting myself? Am I submitting my will to the will of God? A regular habit that each and every one of us must have in our life is the habit of saying yes to the will of God. And let me just give you a kind of a secret. Submitting your will to the will of God means you're going to be uncomfortable. Means at times it's not going to be easy. See, if you're not regularly saying yes to God and no to you, you're not taking these directional steps that you need to take. Let me tell you one that may shock you. You ready? Where I've submitted my will to the will of God. You ready for this? Don't judge. Don't criticize. Don't freak out. Don't send an email. Just listen for just a second, okay? You ready? Regularly, I submit my will to the will of God as it relates to church. Let me just tell you. naturally, I'm not a church person. That's funny, for some reason. I'm just not. Like, you're going to be shocked to find this out. Many times I'm an introverted type person for much of my life. And what that means is I have a really long driveway for a reason. I want you to have to know that you're invited to my house before you show up. I'm introverted. I want to be left alone. Some introvert say amen and go extrovert for me. Yeah, it's like it's not my thing naturally. It's just not mine. Like, I'm content. I can read God's word. I can study. I can grow in God. And I don't necessarily need you in my thinking. Some of you know what I'm talking about. But here's where my will comes subjected to the will of God and comes under subjection to the will of God. God's idea is that we don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That's his idea. And because that's his idea, I take my idea and I bring it under his idea, knowing that his idea is much better than mine. How many of you would say that God's ideas are better than Josh's ideas? Somebody say amen to that. And they're better than your ideas too. Every single time. And see, Elijah had a choice. Do I submit my idea under God's idea, or do I just kind of go and do my own thing? And he says, you know what? I'm going to follow God's idea for my life, and I'm going to take this singular step. See, listen, some of you need to, in 2017, become committed to God's way, especially when it comes to God's house, because that's the way that he sees fit to get certain things to us. Not everything, but some things. And I know there's a train of thought that goes out there that says there's a lot of ways to get information, a lot of ways to get growth. Absolutely. One of the preachers that I love, that I really like to listen to, is a guy named T.D. Jakes. I don't know if you've heard of him or not, but man, he can really preach the house down. And I really like him, and he stirs me up and he gets me fired up. But you want to know something about T.D. Jakes? When I run into crisis, when I have real trouble in my life, and I need another human being to come alongside me and do life, T.D. Jakes is not going to be there to be eyeball to eyeball, knee to knee, across the room from me, having a cup of coffee with me, because he's not in my relational circle. I've not made relational investment into his life, and he's not made relational investment into mine. What we need is we need people that we're investing in relationally, so that when we go through troubles, we understand we cannot do life alone. We need one another. And some of y'all need to take the step of courage and commitment that says, I'm going to be committed to a relational building process in 2017. And put away your idea that you're self-sufficient and that you can do it on your own. But bring your thoughts in under the subjection of Christ, which says you need others in your world. This is really good pastoral preaching this morning. I'm just going to let you know that right up front, okay? It's really, really good. It's really helping somebody. Turn to your neighbor and say, this is helping you. Go ahead and tell them really strong. This is helping you. Something interesting happens, right? How many of you would agree that as long as you're obedient to God and doing the best you know to do to obey God, that you would be confident to say that obedience to God is synonymous with being in the will of God? How many of you would agree with that? Yeah, that obeying God is equivalent to being in the will of God. So if that's the measuring stick, then Elijah is in the middle of the will of God, isn't he? And look what happens a few verses after being in the will of God. In verse 7, and it happened after a while, I don't know how long, but after a while, that the brook dried up. The very place that God sent Elijah ran out. The very way that God had been taking care of Elijah changed. No more airmail for food. No more fresh running water. It dries up and it changes. And Elijah, I believe, is faced with a decision. What do I do? Do I stay by the dryness, or do I find someplace else to go? There's something unique about experiencing dry seasons that will drive you, it will drive me to thinking about life and circumstance and situations in a completely different light. When things around us dry up, don't automatically think God's against me. Think, what is God trying to tell me in this dry season? I don't know if you've ever experienced a dry financial season before or not, but I have. Many, many dry seasons financially I've experienced. And do you know what I will experience in the future? More dry seasons. You want to know why? Because brooks dry up. That's just what they do. But the good news is God's got another way of provision on the other side of my yes and on the other side of my next step. One time this financial brook dried up in our lives and we began to ask questions. I was laid off from a job where I had been making more money than I'd ever been making before. Benefits were better than they'd ever been before. We had Alex under this healthcare cost, under this healthcare plan, and it cost us $25 from start to finish to have Alex. He's one of my favorites. I have four favorites. $25 from start to finish. Guaranteed if I continue to invest in the 401k that by the time I retire after 30 or so years, I'll have $1 million in my portfolio. Making great wages every week. Every bill is paid. Every need is met. Glory to God. I'm under the blessing and good things are happening and I'm excited about it. And then one day, the orders for the plant dry up. Boom. Like that. No warning. No notice, the orders dry up, and I get that little pink slip of paper that says, we don't have space for you anymore. You need to find something else. And so I go home, and if you've ever experienced that, you know the blow to the male ego or the blow to the ego that you take when what used to pay the bills is no longer promised to pay the bills. And I go home, and I tell my wife, I'm laid off. And then we have to start asking some questions. Baby, do you need to go get a job? Do we both need to work? Do we need to not have 185 television stations on our TV anymore? Do we need to go down to 4, 6, and 10? Come on, somebody. Do we need to eat more macaroni and cheese and more ramen noodles and less shrimp and steak? What do we need to take back? See, a dry season came and it led us to asking questions. And one of the questions that I began to ask is, God, is this really what you want for me forever? Is this where you want me forever, or is this just a season? And it was born out of the dry season. That brook dried up, and another step was given, and we took that step together courageously with hearts full of faith, anticipation, and expectation that God is going to meet our need no matter what. It doesn't matter if this brook is dried up for weeks. God's got another way to provide for me and my household, because he's good and his mercy endures forever. Amen. So even if the brook dries up, what question are you asking? What are you seeking? Are you living by the comfort of a dried up brook? I bet you Elijah had a really nice pad right there by that dried up brook. Probably had a favorite rock to lay his head on as a pillow. Here's what I've noticed about dryness. The more you hang out with dry, the more dry gets into you. The longer you hang out around dryness, the more dryness gets into you. See, you need to get away from the dryness. You need to move on. And listen, how many of you, Daniel, come and help me if you don't mind, please. Somebody tell me what time it is. I don't have a phone or notes or nothing. Oh, my Lanta. Okay, let me get through this. How many would agree that the worship team does an incredible job for us? But do you know if you show up here next week and whoever's on the drum is offbeat and Daniel sings out of key and Aaron plays out of tune, do you know that them being off them missing out and them not giving you something good to follow has no bearing on your responsibility to cultivate a growing and vibrant worship life. Whether they're hitting every note or not, you still have inside of you the responsibility to take the step to worship with God. They could goof it up every single week. I know it's hard to believe, but maybe they did. You would not have a right to say, I'm not growing spiritually because of how they're performing or not performing. Your spiritual life is based on the steps that you take. It's possible, not likely, it's possible that I come in here next week and speak in so incoherently you can't even hardly understand a word that comes out of my mouth, and I'm just totally goofing it all up. Not likely, but it's possible. And even if I did that, even if I goofed up week after week after week, do you know you would not have the right to stand before God and say, hey, God, Josh? No, because God has made you responsible for your spiritual life and for the steps that you take. My assignment is to help you to have the confidence and courage to take the next steps. See, the thing that I love about this type of language is there are businesses that were birthed out of God speaking into people's hearts and lives like this. Every business owner, you have a step to take because God's not done with you yet. God has better things for you moving forward. Every educator in this place, every educator watching online, you have steps that you need to take. Maybe that step is to get involved in a group here at church. Maybe that step is to lead a group. Maybe that step is just to say, you know what? Can I talk plain to you for just like 30 seconds? Maybe that step is for a young family to say, we're going to get our butt out of bed and we're going to be in God's house for 3 out of 4 weekends a month because I need to build in my children the habit of putting God and His ways first. Come on. Thank you. Right? Taking that responsibility and taking a step. I don't know what your step is. And I don't want you to feel pressure that you have to go out of here and take a step today. But everyone in here over a period of time will come to a step. Let me tell you about my step. It took me 5 years. 5 years to take this step. And I began it about 3 months ago. 5 years. It's a very personal one. Had to do with writing my story about how I've processed the pain of loss. It came from this passage. And this message was born in my heart as I was taking a step. Friday night, from 6:30 to 8:30, I sat down and wrote the entire introduction to the book that I'm writing, When the Heavens Seem Closed. One simple step, and God got involved. That was my step. That was my step, and it began to birth some things in me. Here's what I realized, that when I took this step, energy came, life came, passion came, desire came, hunger came, faith erupted in my heart, and I began to see the endless possibilities and dream on another level again. Why? Because I took a step. And you can have that same thing in your world by taking a step. Please don't let it take you 5 years to take a step. But take a step. I want to demonstrate this to you really quickly before we leave. As we were worshiping, I had a single step in my heart. And that single step in my heart was to invite someone on the platform with me, a couple, and Angie and I pray over them. And when that step came, I'm like, no, I don't really want to do that because I don't really do that. Like, I'm not gonna do that. Like that's weird. Like, I don't wanna do that. Besides, I don't even know what I would pray. Like, why would I take that step? Like, and it dawned on me. Well, take a step and the rest will come. And then demonstrate this to the church family so that they see that one simple step is all that it takes for God to ignite something supernatural and powerful in a person's life. See, maybe the step doesn't just ignite something for you. What if it ignites something for someone else? Wow, that'd be amazing. What if you say yes to helping with our kids and you're the one that greets the next person that God uses to change a generation? What if it was the smile on your face that draws them back? You didn't teach them. You didn't change their diaper. You just smiled at them and helped them find their way in the classroom. So, Ange, would you come and join me up here, baby? And I'm going to invite someone, a couple, to come up with me. Chad and Shanna, would you come up here, please? In case you don't know, this is Chad and Shanna Shoemaker. They are incredible people that have been in our lives for a long time. And Chad and I and Phil Claggett on Thursday, we're meeting for our very first design meeting for the building project. And when I had the step of praying with you guys, it dawned on me, it might be a good idea for our church family to surround Chad with our faith and our hope and our love, because he's really going to need it. He is, isn't he? Some of you seem confused by that. He's going to need it. I'm going to need it. We're going to need it. And so I thought, you know what? Let's put heaven on notice that we're taking this seriously. And let's put hell on notice. We're not taking any crap. Come on, somebody. We're not going to let him get into this whole project and sow seeds of division and sow seeds of discourse over people's personal preference, because we have something very important on the line, and that's people's eternity. And all those other details need to be under the subjection of Christ, and we need to make sure that we keep the main thing, and God as supreme in the center and our major preoccupation. And so I just want to pray with them and over them. I didn't give them any warning or notice. Father in heaven, we thank you for Chad and Shanna. We thank you for the years of relationship that we have cultivated to bring us for such a time as this. There's been no waste of time. There's been no wasted energy. I believe, God, we've been taking steps so that we could do this assignment for your glory together with one heart, with one mind, with one purpose and one passion, that this is bigger than a project. This is a mandate and an assignment from heaven. And Father, we thank you that he has the mind of Christ, and that within their home, strength and unity prevail. And on the job, Father, you have your way. Where there is safety, there is protection, there is wisdom, there is guidance. And Father, you get the glory and the honor. As people drive by and they see the project in its beginning stages, that you, by your divine nature, will get involved in their world and birth something in their heart. Father, thank you for divine connections, for impartations of ideas. Father, thank you for blessing them and creating a scenario where everyone wins, and primarily, God, you get victory and glory and honor through this house as two brothers work together side by side for your glory. Let it be an example to this community that you are alive and well, and use each and every person in this place to declare your glory and goodness. It's in Jesus' name we pray. If you agree with that, let me hear you shout amen. Amen. I love you guys. Give these guys a big hand. You're welcome. You're welcome. Love you. Love you. Love you. Oh, you all can be seated, yeah, unless you want to finish up. Bow your heads and close your eyes really quickly, watching online. I have a question for each and every person in this place. Maybe your first step today is to say, I need to be right with God. My relationship with God is not what it ought to be. Right now, without hesitation, unashamedly, without reservation, I want you to say, I'm going to take this all-important step, and I'm going to make God number one in my life. I've walked away from him. I've not been living with him or for him as I should. Today is a turning point. Today is a change of direction for me. And right now, I yield my will to the will of God, and I say yes to Jesus and everything that he has for me. If that's you, right where you're seated, I want you just to throw up your hand and say, Josh, that's me. Leave it there for just a moment. That's me. He needs to be first in my life. He has not been. Throw that hand up in the air and leave it there for just a moment. Watching online, there will be someone who will pray with you if you let us know that you're making a decision. You know you need to make a change. You've been living your way. You've not been living his way. Things are not as they should be, and now is the moment of decision. On the count of three, last chance, throw that hand in the air, and I'm going to pray with you. One, two, three. Throw that hand up in the air and leave it there for just a moment. Thank you, all of you, all over this house, all over this house. Father, we thank you for moving in this place. I want everybody in this place to say with their heart, whether you prayed it a dozen times before or not, whether you responded or not, maybe you're secure in your eternity with Christ. That's amazing. I love that. Pray this out loud with these individuals who are praying it as a declaration of their change of direction. Everybody, loud and strong, say this. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Son. Thank you that he died for me. Thank you that he was raised from the dead just for me. I believe in my heart, and I say with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Now and forever, I turn from my sin, and I turn to your Son, and I will follow him all the days of my life. It's in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. Rejoice with heaven over those decisions.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that you have been blessed through the teaching of God's Word. This resource is generously supported by More Life Church and listeners like you. We would like to give you the opportunity to partner with us to impact the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. To give or to learn more about More Life Church, visit our website at morelifechurch.com.